Now, again, I'm back to the Philadelphia experiment. If man, through Einstein's formulas, can even come close to such a thing, you know, man ultimately will discover how to do it. And the devil already knows. God certainly knows. He's teleported things for years. He'll teleport all of us. How do you think we're going to move around when we get to heaven? Huh? A spirit, in this case an inhuman demonic spirit, began moving the doll around the apartment through teleportation and other means. Once it aroused the girl's curiosity, which was the spirit's purpose in moving the doll, they made the predictable mistake of bringing a medium in here who took matters a step further. She told them in the trance state that a little girl spirit named Annabelle was moving the doll. Communicating through the medium, the entity preyed on the girl's emotional vulnerabilities and during the seance managed to extract permission from them to go about its business. Insofar as the demonic is a negative spirit, it then set about causing patently negative phenomena to occur. It aroused fear through the weird movements of the doll. It brought about the materialization of disturbing handwritten notes. It left a residue of blood on the doll. And ultimately, it even struck the young man Lou on the chest with a bloody claw mark. Beyond the activity, Lorraine has also discerned that this inhuman spirit is with us now. Lorraine's an excellent clairvoyant. She's never been wrong about the nature of a spirit that's present. However, if you want to go a step further, we can challenge the entity right now with religious provocation. You'll be able to see for yourself. No, I don't think so, replied Father Cook. Why don't I just do what has to be done? In this case, the recitation of the exorcism blessing took the priest about 5 minutes to perform in each room of the apartment. I bet he never did it faster. The Episcopal blessing of a home is a wordy, 7-page document that is distinctly positive in nature. Rather than specifically expelling evil entities from the dwelling, the emphasis is instead directed toward filling the home with the power of the positive, the power of God. You gotta act. See? There was no trouble or mishap during the procedure. When he was finished, the priest then blessed the individuals who were present and after doing so declared all was well. Lorraine also confirmed that the apartment and the people were free from the infesting spirit entity at that moment. Ed and Lorraine's work done, they then took their leave and started for home. At Donna's request, and as a further precaution against the phenomena ever recurring in the apartment again, the Warrens took the big rag doll along with them. Placing Annabelle in the back seat of the car, Ed decided it was safer to avoid traveling on the interstate in case the entity had not been separated from the rag doll. His hunch was correct. In no time at all, Ed and Lorraine Warren felt themselves the object of a vicious hatred. Then at each dangerous curve in the road, their new car began to stall, causing the power steering and brakes to fail. Repeatedly, the car verged on collision. Of course, it would have been easy to stop and throw the doll into the woods. But if the profane item didn't simply teleport back to the girl's apartment, at the least it would place anyone who found it in jeopardy. The third time the car stalled along the road, Ed reached into his black bag, took out a vial, and threw a sprinkling of holy water on a rag doll, making a sign of the cross over it. The disturbance of the car stopped immediately, allowing the Warrens to reach home safely. I don't believe any of this. For the next few days, Ed sat the doll in a chair next to his desk. The doll levitated a number of times in the beginning, then it seemed to fall inert. During the ensuing weeks, however, it began showing up in various rooms of the house. When the Warrens were away and had the doll locked up in the outer office building, they'd often return to find it sitting comfortably upstairs in Ed's easy chair when they opened the main front door. I don't believe a word of this. It also turned out that Annabelle came with a friend. Now, I'm going to leave that for just a minute. leave that for just a minute? Yeah, I can. By the middle of May 1978, the daffodils were up, but spring hadn't yet arrived in Connecticut. I want you to notice how many of these were loose up there in New England. Lorraine had planned to spend Saturday the 13th planting flowers in her backyard garden, but gale force winds blew across the state, followed by 5 days of heavy rain. The weather was a fitting end to a week in which nothing had gone right. In fact, tensions had been building for Lorraine since the beginning of the month, and she knew something would soon have to give. With torrential rain beating on the house, the Warrens spent that wet Saturday afternoon planning the itinerary for their upcoming trip to England. You can't take any more. Just before leaving on the planned trip, having made a dent in their plans, they arrived home that night from dinner, thinking they could leave for the United Kingdom, reviewed the calls left on the answering machine. There was a message from a friend in Los Angeles, then a call from their daughter Judy on vacation in Virginia. After that, a young man's request for an appointment with Ed, then a bizarre series of clicks and odd whirring sounds, followed by the distraught voice of an unfamiliar woman. Quote, "I hope you can hear me. My name is Hillman, Mrs. Jeannie Hillman. I don't exactly know what has happened here," she said in a barely controlled voice, "but my children have been hit and chased by something. And there's somebody or something in the house upstairs in one of the children's bedrooms. Please call me back just as soon as you possibly can." Then starts what may be the most bizarre story that the Lorraines and Ed's Warrens had to deal with. I just wanted you to know there's some more. Okay. Haven't done that. It turned out that Annabelle came with a friend. I mean, I'm going to finish some things tonight, but I want you to know I'm not finished. There's some other things. A black cat that would occasionally materialize beside the doll. I don't believe any of this. I want to go to that other story, see if it's more believable. The cat would stalk once around the floor, taking particular notice of books and other objects in Ed's office, then return to the doll's side and dematerialize from the head down. It also became apparent that Annabelle hated clergymen. During the follow-up process on the case, it was necessary for the Warrens to consult the Episcopal priests associated with the incident in the young nurse's apartment. Returning home alone one evening, Lorraine was terrified by loud, rolling growls that reverberated throughout the house. Later, when she was listening to the playback on the telephone answering machine, there were back-to-back calls from Father Hagen. Between his two calls was recorded the incredible growling noises she had heard earlier in the house. One day, Father Jason Bradford, a Catholic exorcist, had been working with Ed and asked about the new addition to the office, Annabelle. Ed told Father Jason about the case and gave him the paperwork for his review. After hearing Ed's account of what had happened, the priest picked up the rag doll and offhandedly said, "You're just a rag doll, Annabelle. You can't hurt anything." The priest then tossed the stuffed figure back on the chair. "That's one thing you better not say again," Ed warned him with a laugh. Yet when Father Jason stopped to say goodbye to Lorraine upon leaving an hour later, she pleaded that he be especially careful driving, and insisted that he call her just as soon as he arrived at the rectory. "I discerned tragedy for that young priest," said Lorraine, "but he had to go his way." A few hours later, the telephone rang. Lorraine said, "Father Jason, why did you tell me to be careful driving?" "Because," she told him, "your car would go out of control. You'd have an accident." "Well, you were right," he stated flatly. "The brake system failed. I was almost killed in a traffic accident. My car's a wreck." Later in the year, at a large social gathering at the Warrens' home, Lorraine and Father Jason went into the den to chat for a few moments. By a strange coincidence, Annabelle had moved into that room the day before. While speaking with Lorraine, the priest saw an ornamental wall decoration make a quick movement. Suddenly, the 24-inch long boar's tooth necklace above them exploded with percussive force. Hearing this stunning noise, other guests immediately converged on the room, at which time someone in the crowd had the foresight to snap a photograph. When developed, the print was otherwise normal, except above the doll were two beacons of bright light, both pointing in the direction of Father Jason Bradford. I don't believe any of this. I believe whatever credibility I build up tonight, I'm losing it right now. I'm going to read it, though. I won't finish this. It kills me. On another occasion, Ed recounts, I was in my office working with a police detective on a case that concerned a witchcraft-related murder in the area. As a cop, he's seen every kind of crime. He's definitely not the sort of man who gets scared. While we were talking, Lorraine called me upstairs to take a long-distance call. I told the detective he was free to look around in my office, but to be careful and not touch any of the objects, because they had come from cases where the demonic had been invoked. Well, I wasn't away any more than 5 minutes when upstairs came this detective, stark white. When I asked him what had happened, he refused to tell me, Ed remembers, breaking into a grin. He just kept mumbling. The doll. The rag doll was real. He was talking about Annabelle, of course. That little doll made a believer out of him. In fact, as I think back on it, any meetings I've had with the detective from that day on have always been in his office. Too cold. Just last week, a similar incident occurred here, Lorraine adds. While Ed was away in Scotland, we had a carpenter over to build additional bookshelves. And I want some of my Ghostbusters to call on the Warrens back there in Connecticut and see if the doll's there. I'm going to check this out. I'm tired of these crazy stories. Sure glad Halloween's over. We had a carpenter over to build additional bookshelves in his office while Ed was away in Scotland. The carpenter came upstairs and asked me if I'd move the Raggedy Ann doll to another place so he could continue working. In all honesty, the doll scares me, but Ed wasn't around, so I had to move it. Profane objects like the Annabelle doll have their own aura. When you touch them, your human aura mingles with theirs. This change immediately attracts spirits. It's almost like setting off a fire alarm. Therefore, for protection, I bless myself with holy water, then bless the rag doll with holy water and the sign of the cross. When I asked the carpenter if he wanted to bless himself too, he gave me a kind of accommodating smile, saying he didn't believe in spirits or religion, and told me he'd pass on this holy business. Now, our tabby cat, Marcy, had been lying around in Ed's office as she always does. Just as soon as I picked up Annabelle to move her across the room, Marcy's hair raised up, and she began screeching in pained terror. She edged over to the outside door and began making a strange-sounding call I'd never heard a cat make before. Marcy wouldn't stop until I opened the office door and let her out in the sunlight. The carpenter watched all this in amazement. Then, without saying a word, he reached over, took the holy water bottle from my hand, and promptly blessed himself with it. It's difficult for people to accept the existence of something they've been conditioned not to believe in, Ed asserts. Still, lack of knowledge allowed this negative spirit to wrangle its way into the lives of three unwary young people. Had they known such sinister spirits exist, then it's quite likely that today a young man would not have been physically struck with the mark of the beast. Many, nevertheless, contend that the notion of spirits is irrational or unfounded. They say the phenomenon is an illusion or a hallucination, or that it doesn't exist at all. At best, the activity can be explained away by science. Or can it? Recently, the Warrens broached this very subject on nationwide television, the David Susskind Show in New York City. The show's theme that night is the occult. That ends Annabelle, except they're telling about it on the TV. Now, this one in London that we started, it's called A Conjuring Book for Christmas. Maybe I ought to save that till Christmas. My children have been hit and chased by something. When they got to the place and they began to tell of what happened. Now, Dee, did anything else happen after you heard the footsteps leave the room? I've skipped over the early happenings. Typical pattern. Yeah, plenty. When I got in bed, I lay down and closed my eyes. Suddenly heard a door downstairs slam real hard. After that, I heard furniture being pushed around and crashing like it was being thrown by somebody who was very mad. I really thought there was someone in the house. But I was too scared to do anything, so I just kept my eyes closed. But even though my eyes were closed, I could see my whole room through my eyelids. I opened my eyes, but nothing was different, so I closed my eyes again. Then through my eyelids, I saw a silver light come out of the woods and glide into my bedroom. It was there when I opened my eyes, too. The next thing I knew, something, some hand. And I'll leave that one right there. I'll leave that one right there. When we come back again, if we ever do, this is probably one of the most respectable records of demon possession encountered by missionaries on the mission field, an area we haven't dealt with and an area I've had direct experience with. You will probably find it hard to believe when I read here. A traditional conservative church missionary telling of a demon-possessed woman exhibiting bite marks. Now, we encountered that in the Philippines. And bruises from demon forces. Now, I think I've finished enough tonight to shock, put most of you in shock. Won't it be fun to tell them tomorrow night? We finished Annabelle. We finished the exorcism. I can't hardly wait.